So tonight, we are starting a series that will take us 2 weeks to do. So it's a very short series. You may remember from the previous school holidays, we did part one of The Overflowing Life, where we looked at generosity. And this is part two of The Overflowing Life, where we're looking at worship. So Paul's going to be speaking about songs of praise tonight, and then Sam next week on songs of thanksgiving. I am going to read from Psalm 145, if you would like to follow on. I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever.
Thank you, Andrew, and that's an awesome psalm, Psalm 145. I'm going to pray, and we're going to plow into Psalm 145 tonight. Let's pray. Our Father, we come before you tonight, and we thank you for your living word, your powerful word. We believe, Lord, that you have something to tell us tonight from your word. Would you open our ears that we would hear your word again? Would you, Lord Jesus, comfort our hearts, speak to our minds, and inspire us, Lord Jesus, to lift our eyes to you, the Lord God Almighty. And Father, would you fill us up with your spirit again, that we would overflow your power, your presence with all those that we're going to interact with in this coming week. We thank you, Lord, that this week that's coming for us all is another week of mission to make your truth known, your love known. Lord, we pray that right now you'll fire us up to send us out afresh. In your name, Jesus. Amen. I have a slight confession to make right from the beginning outset here. One of the radio choices that I love to listen to is Triple J, and I've kind of listened to that pretty much most of my life. And last week on Triple J, the feature album of the week was Florence and the Machine. I want to quote to you one of their songs called Big God. I found the lyrics of this song really interesting. It's from their latest album, As High as Hope. You need a big God, big enough to hold your love. You need a big God, big enough to fill you up. In verse 2 it reads, sometimes I think it's getting better and then it gets much worse. It is just part of the process. Well, Jesus Christ, it hurts. Though I know I should know better, well, I can make this worse. It's just part of the process. Well, Jesus Christ, it hurts. So I'm driving home and I'm listening to this song about big God. And as I sat in Psalm 145, I was reflecting, we're encountering tonight just that. We're actually encountering a big God. This cry here of, well, Jesus Christ, it hurts. Well, life does hurt, doesn't it? Life hurts. And tonight you may be feeling the sting of challenges in your own life. You know, when a friend rejects you, it really hurts. When families break down, that really hurts. When somebody that you really love, when they hurt you, well, that really hurts. When somebody hurts you and they're not sorry at all, that really hurts. Maybe tonight you're hurting in some way. We certainly find, I think, ourselves at times in the cry of this song. You need a big God. In the bridge there, allow me to draw your attention to the bridge of the song. You pull down the mountain, drag your cities to the sea, shower your affection, let it rain on me. Don't leave me on this white cliff. Let it slide down. Let it slide down to the sea. You need a big God, big enough to hold your love. You need a big God, big enough to fill you up. Well, tonight, I just want to encourage us to look up and with eyes of faith, see a big God that can fill us up. The cry of this song is to not be left alone on some lonely cliff when life hurts. That's the cry of this song. But tonight, I want us to look up at a big God who can and does actually fill us up. We do have a big God. And Psalm 145 is a song where all the attributes of God are completely on display for us. This is what we're about to see in Psalm 145. And this kind of ties into, we've just done the good series, that God is good and his goodness is powerful. God is good and his goodness is powerful. This is an important truth that really comes to us in Psalm 145, and I hope it springs us into a week of mission, of overflowing God's love through praise. Maybe we could say this together, because it's easy just to skip over that and move on, but let's think about it. We've just done the good campaign. I mean, the good series, coming up to the good campaign. Maybe let's say this together. Let's get this in our hearts and our minds. Let's say it together. You reckon we can do that? Let's do it. God is good, and his goodness is powerful. Sit in that for a moment. God is good. He's good. We've just unpacked that. But his goodness is what? His goodness is powerful. And Psalm 145 is going to capture that for us tonight. Have a listen to verses 8 and 9 of this precious psalm. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. You know, the world we live in is quick to anger. When you start driving, or you've been driving for a while, you do the wrong thing on the road, somebody's pretty quick to let you know that. You know, our world is just like so quick to anger. But look at God. He's slow to anger. I don't think the world is rich in love. The world seems pretty poor in love, fueled by hate at times. But God, our big God, he's rich in love. He is so compassionate. He has compassion on all he has made. He loves you very, very much. And the communion table tonight is a pointer to just how much God does love you. This big God that can fill us up. If only the band from Florence and the Machine could actually be here tonight. What a privilege it is for us to be here tonight and sit under Psalm and inside Psalm 145, because this is an awesome big God. God's power is good and his goodness is powerful. Praise God. You know, King David, who wrote this psalm, he was a runt of a boy, a shepherd boy, who grew up to be a king in Israel, one of the greatest kings in Israel, apart from the Lord Jesus, right, who sought God's heart. And as a shepherd boy, he went out against Goliath. We all know that story. It's pretty familiar to us. He went out against Goliath. Well, David loved music as well. He loved his harp. He actually played for King Saul. David sat under a pretty miserable king who tried to kill him on a number of occasions. He was just strumming his harp. And Saul, he was certainly not a happy king. He picked up a javelin and went to throw it and pin David against the wall. David fled out of there. He ran for his life. King Saul was jealous of David. He defeated Goliath. He also had great military victory as he grew. And Saul despised King David. You know what? King David knows what it is to be on those white cliffs all alone. You know, King David knows what it is to drag your cities to the sea. You know, he knows what it is to let it slide down. He knows what it is to be alone. He knows what it is to be hurt, on the run, afraid. And yet here he composes Psalm 145, a really powerful psalm. We miss a lot of it in Hebrew because, check this out, in the Hebrew, Psalm 145 is an acrostic. So he's such a talented songwriter that that means that every line starts with the next letter of the Hebrew alphabet. This psalm for an Israelite was so well known. Jews would meet about three times a day in their synagogue. Every service that they had, Psalm 145 was read out three times a day. In fact, there's a book of instruction for Jews called the Talmud. And the Talmud basically helped you order your life as a Jew alongside of the Torah. And the Talmud said this: everyone who repeats the Teller, which is Psalm 145 of David, thrice a day may be sure that he is a child of God of the world to come. So for a Jew, Psalm 145 was seriously bread and butter. You could quote Psalm 145. It was your go-to psalm. It was a psalm that was always on your lips. And you know what? We could take great advice from that tonight, that Psalm 145 could be deep inside our heart. And there's an important reason why. This is a great song of praise. David reached out to a big God who actually did fill him up, even when life was harsh and hurtful. So when we remember the greatness of God, because that's what David's doing here in Psalm 145. Life is harsh, life is hurtful, and he's remembering the greatness of God in this beautiful song that he writes, this acrostic song that he writes. And so when we remember the greatness of God, two things happen. I just want to point out two things tonight. Two things happen when we remember the greatness of God. So let's just capture verses 1 to 13 again. And we're just going to unpack two things when we remember the greatness of God. Verses 1 to 13. I will exalt you, my God and King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I'll praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious. He's compassionate, slow to anger, rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints, that's us, we will extol you. They will tell of your glory, of your kingdom, and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts and the gracious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. So here are two things that happen when we remember the greatness of God. And this is what David's doing, the greatness of God, the grandeur of God. The first is this, that negativity actually fades away. When we remember the greatness of God, negativity actually fades away. I want to show you a graphic here. You know, when we have some hurt in life, deep hurt, somebody's hurt you in some way, a natural response to our hurt is to question. So often we question ourselves. We question our motives, our behavior. We question what we look like. We question the future and future prosperity. And so often in that questioning phase, because we feel hurt, questions then give birth to a negativity. And a negativity does one thing that's not good for us as disciples of Jesus. It actually almost takes God off his throne in our heart and our mind, and it makes our hurt bigger than God. And suddenly, everything that we see becomes negative. Negativity starts to snowball. Our emotions start to plummet. And it gets really hard when you feel like you're in a bit of a nosedive in life. It starts with hurt. We then question. And then those questions give birth to a negativity. Our eyes come off God and is on our pain. And all we can see is negativity all around us. Nothing is beautiful, nothing is wondrous, nothing is hopeful. It's just all negative. And this is the challenge of what happens when we face times of hurt. But you know, if we were to daily, weekly, fortnightly read and reread Psalm 145, if that was your go-to psalm when you feel hurt, because this psalm, it enables us to lift our eyes off our hurt onto a great big God who can fill us up. If you were to actually run to Psalm 145 when you feel hurt, looking at God, negativity can just actually fade away. Even though we can still feel pain and the questions are good to ask, but in that questioning stage, run to Psalm 145. Run to it. Sprint to Psalm 145. Read and reread it and allow the greatness of God to evaporate the negativity that comes up in our mind and wants to take us away to dark places, because that's where negativity ultimately will take you. I'll unpack that in a few moments' time. It's about transforming that negativity into praise. And, you know, praise, to try and understand praise a little bit, it's like, it's giving expression to our impression. So if our impression of God is Savior, Warrior, Lover of our soul, Provider, Compassionate, Forgiving God, and we experience that kind of God, then praise is just giving expression to the impression of God upon our heart and our soul. So that expression is really only limited to your creativity and imagination, but God delights when we praise him, especially in the hurt. You see, this is where David wrote this psalm. He didn't write it in a place of joy. David wrote this psalm out of his pain. David needed a big God when he was on the run. David needed the power and the presence of God when life got tough. And you know what? So do we. And David wrote this song because what did he do? He praised God. And that praise meant that negativity melted away and by focusing on God. The second thing that I just want to point out tonight is this. When we remember the greatness of God, you know, praise does come pouring out. Actually, I want to go back one slide. Because I want to show that graphic again. Because before praise can just come pouring out, I think so often when that hurt, when we feel hurt, we feel that sting that somebody's hurt us, a situation where we feel hurt, questions rise, negativity rise, and so often, when we take God off the throne in our own heart and mind, we just kind of gravitate towards this banquet of binging. And it could be anything, really. It could be binge drinking. It could be binge eating. It could be binge pornography. It could be binge fitness. Anything that replaces God. I've seen in my time people that are fired up to follow Jesus. They get hurt by the church. They get hurt by a loved one. They get hurt. Questions rise up. Questions lead to this negativity, and then this negativity just leads to this banquet of binging, and God is nowhere. And you know what? That whatever that binge is for you, it will leave you empty. The hurt will remain. The questions will remain. And it's not until you can come back and put your eyes and look up to the Lord God Almighty that you will actually find and encounter a big God that does fill us up. Because when God fills us up, not only does negativity fade away, but praise comes pouring out. Praise comes pouring out. We remember the greatness of God. Negativity fades away. Praise begins to pour out. You know, David could have complained about how hard life was. He probably did. I don't blame him. But he also remembers the greatness of God. And praise comes pouring out. The remainder of Psalm 145 reads this way. The Lord is faithful to his promises. So when he promises to be with you, he will be there. He promises to forgive you, he will forgive you. He promises to provide for you, he will provide for you. He promises to heal our hurts and pain, in time he will. Sometimes he wants us to learn from that hurt and pain, and that's why it lingers at times. But the Lord is faithful to his promises and loving toward all he has made. The Lord upholds all those who fall, and he lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you. And you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and you satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving toward all he has made. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked, they will be destroyed. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. Verse 18, the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. Are you feeling hurt tonight? Are you feeling a sense of pain? Are you living with the questions of that pain? Do you feel that there's this negativity that's taking you away and wanting to take you away into a darker place? To short circuit that, call on the name of the Lord. Look to his greatness. Allow the Spirit of God to touch your life. And it's in those moments that when God touches our life, praise can't help but just want to pour out of us. Even in the darkest, harshest, most difficult times, praise can still pour out because it's not a work of us. It's a work of God in us. And suddenly, we can give an expression to the impression that God has on our life, and others will be blessed by our overflowing life. Even in a place of hurt and pain. God can do that. Do you believe that? You don't have to be trapped in the hurt and the pain of life forever. But you've got to invite God in. We do that by looking at the greatness of God and calling on his name. And God promises, he's a faithful God. He promises the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He's near. Call on him and he's right there. I love in that moment in John 14 when Jesus is telling his disciples that he's going to leave them, and I can only imagine the anxiety of the disciples, their teacher, their master, their Lord. He's going, what do you mean you're going? And Jesus feels their anxiety and their fear. And Jesus says to them that I will not leave you orphaned, but I will come to you. John 14. See, God doesn't leave us orphaned, especially when we're hurting. It's interesting, C.S. Lewis talks about God's megaphone, that God, he whispers in our joy and he shouts through our pain. It's like we hear God the loudest through the hurt and the pain. But you've got to have ears to hear and eyes to see and a willingness to look up. I remember chatting to Christian Wright, who I miss so much, living in WA, and as a nurse, I remember he was always saying that so many people in a resus situation can pretty much lose their lives purely because they're airways are blocked, and you know, the first aid, and many of you guys did first aid, is like unblock the airways, and if only you could just lift up the chin there and open the airways, and there's a good chance that that airflow can start to really help that person. If the airways are blocked, then it's not good, right? It's just like there's this little moment, this little degree up when you're in a moment of need, and all can change. Well, when we're hurt and there's a moment of need, My challenge to you is look up. Look up and let the Spirit of God come into your life. Let the power and the presence of God heal so that praise can pour out even in the harsh reality that life hurts. King David's praise for God, it seemed to be a natural response when we remember God's greatness. It's like a natural response. Remember the greatness of God, and it's like praise just starts to overflow. David could have been self-focused as a king. He could have said, look at me, look at my rule, look at how great I am. But David didn't do that. He wanted to declare and express all the attributes of God. And I'm still left with a question. Why do we struggle to praise God? Why do we really struggle to praise God? You know, so often, mainly it's our selfishness. At times, I think our hurt and pain just carries us away from God. But why do we struggle so much to just outwardly express whatever that may be, or inwardly express the greatness of God in our lives? Why is it so hard for us to praise? I want to encourage us in a few ways this week. As we look to God, we call upon His name. You know, we can praise God in some practical ways, labeled thankfulness. You know, just label what you're grateful for. The Apostle Paul talks about give thanks always and in all circumstances. Don't stop giving thanks. I love in my own quiet times when I'm praying, I just pray through the Lord's Prayer. I believe that that's the way that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. Give us today our daily bread. Right at that point about praying for daily bread, I'm just thanking God. I'm thanking God for His goodness in small and big ways, whether it's the bed my kids get to sleep in, the school they get to go to, the doctors that we have access to, the fresh, clean water and sanitation, the opportunities to earn, the opportunities to learn, the opportunities to experience. I'm just thanking God. You know what? There's nothing like labeled thankfulness because of the greatness of God that just melts negativity away. Labeled thankfulness this week as you're praying God to our God. Just thank Him. Think about what you're thankful for, even in places of hurt and pain. Even though you may be feeling this sting, just thank God. As you grab for thankfulness, you watch what the Spirit of God does. It's like that moment where you clear your airways and let the Spirit of God come in so that we can overflow with praise. I encourage you to connect with creation. I love doing that through mountain biking. I actually went for a ride after church this morning. I was just like, I felt like getting out there. Tour de France, it's kind of inspiring me too much. There was just this moment on top of this climb today, and I just stopped. The gate was kind of shut at the top of Loftus Youth Camp there. I love that climb up the top there. I just stopped. My heart rate was pretty much up anyway. And I just stopped and looked back and just saw just the grandeur of creation. I just looked at that and went, wow. God, just praise your name for creation. There's nothing like being in creation that makes me feel small. Big God, small. This big God loves me. So I want to encourage you, you know, as you feel hurt and pain, connect with creation in some way. Just look at the wonder and beauty of creation and acknowledge God as the creator who made it and just see what happens. But if you close your heart and close your ears, close your eyes, you'll miss it. I encourage you to keep raising my voice in song. Raising your voice as we're led in worship here. Sometimes it's good to be reflective within, if that's the moment you're in, just to be a natural posture of worship to reflect how you're feeling. That's cool. It doesn't have to be kind of this false facade of like raise your hands, but really deep down you're just kind of doing it because other people do it. No, be authentic and genuine in your worship. If you want to kneel, kneel. If you want to raise your hands, raise your hands. If you want to sing, belt it out. If you want to just be quiet and reflective, whatever it is, when we come to worship God, it's not about the music, it's about Jesus. Because when we sing, He's listening. When we're thinking, He knows. When we're on our knees, He sees. Because we have a with God life. That's what praise is about. It needs to be authentic and genuine. Just go with it. Because it's in those moments that God can radically change our perspective. He can heal our hurt. He can give us a word. We can be encouraged. But you've got to open yourself up. You just got to be open. It's like, get your airways clear. Look up. What else did I have? Calling on the name of the Lord. That's part of it. And encouraging our church family. You know, an encouraging word is so, so, so powerful. I love what John Maxwell says, that encouragement is oxygen to your soul. You know, if God gives you a word to encourage, then do it. Encourage each other. Encourage is about instilling courage into one another. But I encourage you to find a moment to look at somebody tonight and just genuinely encourage them, whatever it may be. And allow the Spirit of God to prompt you in that as well. I want to finish with this. You know, so often we see the cracks in our life and, you know, we can really despair in negativity. And it's just all bad and nothing ever goes good and I can't be used. And it's like this Eeyore the donkey mentality, and the glass is always half empty and, you know, I'm just hopeless and I just got too many flaws. And have you ever wondered at times, though, that, you know what, that maybe great beauty could actually come out of the flaws, the cracks in within our soul? I'm going to share a story. I'm going to finish with this story. The story is called The Walking as a Cracked Pot. There once lived a water carrier in India. And he had two large pots, and he suspended a bar, a rod across his back. One of the pots was perfect, absolutely perfect. The other pot had a crack in it. And he suspended a pot on each end of this bar that he was carrying. The perfect pot always delivered the full portion of water from the stream to the master's house. But the cracked pot arrived half full every single day. 2 years, the water carrier made the same journey, and the perfect pot became so proud in always delivering the full water and all its accomplishments. But the cracked pot was ashamed of its imperfections and miserable that it was only able to accomplish just half of what it had made. Finally, one day by the stream, the pot that had a crack in it said to its owner, "I'm ashamed of myself, and I want to apologize that I've only been able to deliver half my water to your house. This crack in my side, which causes water to leak out, because of my flaws, you don't get full value from your efforts." And then the water carrier replied, smiling, "As we return to the master's house, I want you to notice the beautiful flowers along the path." On that trip from the stream, the crackpot looked around. "Did you notice that there are flowers only on your side of the path? But not on the other pot side?" The water carrier commented, "That's because I've always known about your flaw. And I took advantage of it. I planted seeds just on your side of the path. And every day while we passed by, you watered those seeds. Now for 2 years, I've been able to pick those beautiful flowers to decorate my master's table. Without you being just the way you are, I would not have this beauty to grace his house." You know, there are cracks within our soul. And so often we can look at those cracks and just go, "Well, I can't be used. I'm hopeless." We can have all these questions and all this negativity about the way we are. I know that there's cracks within my soul too. But this is how God works. When we look to Him, the greatness of God, praise will pour out, and at times it'll pour out from the cracks within our soul. You know, God can use our greatest weaknesses for his glory. You know, great beauty can come out of those areas of your soul that maybe you feel ashamed of. But God doesn't look at you that way. You know, I struggle with anxiety, have for years. Sure, get some help from good people who have helped me along this road. Plenty of times I've asked God, why am I like this? Why am I always anxious? But you know, the anxiety, it takes me to my knees where I cry out to God. And it's the one thing that actually drives me closer to God. And I've questioned, why do I feel the way I feel constantly? But you know, it's out of that I think great beauty has come. Don't despise what's cracked within your soul. Allow God to heal it. But you know what? Sometimes God uses those cracks so that his power, his presence, his love can overflow out of it, and others can actually see his beauty in the challenge of our life. Let me pray. Our Father, we thank you so much for Psalm 145. We thank you, Father, we see all your attributes on display. Lord, I praise you that you are a good God, and out of that, Lord, we know that goodness can shine, goodness can overflow from within our soul. Lord, I pray tonight that you would give us the challenge that when we feel hurt, you would give us the courage to run to you. And by running to you, Lord Jesus, I just pray that in that, you are a big God, big enough to fill us up. You are a big God, and you don't leave us alone. And I pray, Lord, that as we reach out for you, you would fill us afresh. And in that, Lord Jesus, we pray that we would overflow your love to others this week, even through the cracks within our soul. Have mercy, Lord, as we reach out for you. In Jesus' name, amen.